and you're live.
All right, Rishon Messianic Bible Club. Shalom, shalom. Hoping everybody's doing good today. We're kind of finishing up on last night's message. I don't know how well I did. It's very hard for me to watch myself do it. But as I was doing last night's Bible study with the Lord, yesterday before our Bible class, the Lord was showing me this last clue that he wanted to show me concerning that judgments always begin in the 120th year. And I think, you know, in the future, I'm just going to speak only on Psalms and the year-by-year prophecies all the way up to Psalms 120, and then go into the last seven Psalms of 120 to 127, showing the tribulation and the rapture. But what the Lord wanted me to do was review today all the 120 markers where God is letting you know that this year, in the 120th year, since the 1900s began, in this 120th year, that this is the year of the rapture and the judgment. To be able to say that without scripture backing you up would really be a horrible thing to say, because scripture is supposed to be verified by other scripture. And so 120 year being the year of judgment has to be proven, not just by one person saying, oh, I believe that this is what it is, but you have to go into the scriptures and find out that in fact, every 120 in scripture verifies that a judgment happens. And so we're going to review what we learned last night to cap off our 120 years till all the judgments occur in the 120th year. For us to be in the 120th year and them to be trying to or to come up with a peace plan, even though it didn't get verified, I heard Palestine said last night, no thank you, but for them to have an organized plan for the peace plan, this is the furthest they've gotten any time in history. So if the Antichrist were to come, all he would have to do is confirm that covenant, and then that would be the person. Amen. Okay. How do you say ni hao to all our people in Japan? And what's the other one? Good day, mate, and all our people in Australia. So, and come and survive to all the people in Martinique or in France or wherever, okay? And in Montreal. Okay, so.
Germany's checking in.
Okay, I don't.
From Germany.
Shalom from Germany. Hallelujah. The biggest thing that I can really tell you is that, you know, we could have all saved ourselves a lot of time if we would just listen to Jesus.
That's the truth.
Because he said it would be as it was in the days of Noah. And our job was to figure out what was going on in the time of Noah so that we can understand what's going on now, okay? So let's look at this. We're going to have to pray first. Mm-hmm. And then after this prayer, we are going to get into the scriptures, and we are going to look at why you are in the year of judgment and why this needs to be a significant time for us getting ready. Okay?
Amen.
Here we go. Avanu. Who is that?
Shalom from New Zealand.
Shalom, New Zealand. Good day, mate. I like that. That's like a cool way to say good morning. Yeah. It says, Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshim Ha Tavod Melhuteka Yi Aserot Sanaka Be Aretz Ke Ashirne Asa Be Shamaim Telano Hayom Lechem Hukenu Usilak Lanu Etash Mitenu Kesher Sulakim Anaknu Ashmelanu. Vial tevienu de de Massa, Kimat Hatzilano min hara, Kilaha Hamamlaka, the Hagivara, the Hativ Eret, Leolame, Leolamim. Amen. Praise the Lord. Seems like Usulaklanu et Ashmetenu, Kashir Solikimanaklu, Ashir Ashmelanu. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's get into this. Let's look at, first of all, the statement of Jesus Christ. And what is the statement of Jesus Christ? It will be as it was in the days of Noah. Okay, now I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 24 and read this, because there is something in that scripture that we really need to look at, and that is the fact that when he begins to talk about this, he changes subjects, and he's basically saying, now I'm talking about the rapture. I'm not talking about the end times. I'm not talking about my second coming. I am now talking to you about the rapture, okay? So, in this scripture, it says here, in verse 32 is actually when he does this in the Greek, when he uses the word Matthew chapter 24, verse 32, okay? Because I want you to know in 31, he ended his answer to the question, what will it be like at the end, at your second coming, okay? Because in 31, he says, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, okay? And in those scriptures above, he's talking about him coming on a cloud, the angels gathering the Jewish nation. All of this is his second coming. When he gets to 32, he uses the Greek term dia, which now what it does is it says, now we're talking about a new subject. I have that study, and so because I want you to know, his answer to their question was, how is it going to be at the end? What is it going to be that's going to bring about the end of the time? And he gives them a detailed answer to every event going up. He says, wars, rumors of wars, nations will rise against nations, pestilence. And then he jumps to the tribulation, and he says, in the middle of the tribulation, they will come after you, but if you see the abomination of desolation happen, it says flee, because it'll be the worst time in history. So that's the middle of the tribulation. And then he says, then I'm going to come back on a cloud, and the angels are going to gather, and then that's the end of that. And then he gets to verse 32, and in the Greek he uses the word dia, which is like, looks like a D and an E, and it says, now learn the lesson of the fig tree. It says, as soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Okay, so he's saying it's going to be real near when you see the rebirth of Israel. Okay, even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Okay, so Israel's rebirth was supposed to tell us that this generation was now about to be over. He says, I tell you the truth, this generation, okay, will certainly not pass away till all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Okay, now we talk about one thing. People, and there's very few people that send me, oh, they weren't reborn till 1949 because they didn't have a Congress. The scripture structures 1948, 19th book of the Bible going forth, Psalms. 48th book of the Bible going back, Psalms. Abraham begins to have his children in a 1948th year of man's history. So everything is pointing to 1948, okay? Now, does 1948 begin a countdown to the end of the 70 years, which we all believe that 70 years was the end of the generation, yeah, right? And it is the end of a generation because there are three times in scripture that God specifies generations. And he says the children of Israel wandered for the whole generation of 40 years in the wilderness. So that generation ended, okay? Then he says the nation of Israel will serve Babylon for one generation, and they, for 70 years, they were under Babylonian rule. And he did quite a few 70-year prophecies that came true to the exact time, okay? So we could see that God pointed a 40-year generation, then God pointed a 70-year generation, but we never saw that the scripture says in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, God starts speech to them by saying this to Noah. He says, the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. You hear that?
Yeah.
So in what generation? Because it's not the 40th generation. And so what generation is he talking about? He's saying, in this generation, what generation? From the generation of the time that I told you about building the ark, till now, when I'm telling you to go into the generation, has been 120 years. So now I'm telling you to go into the ark because I have found you righteous in this generation. Now, for the scriptures to have that particular sentence saying the righteous generation, only twice in the Bible, here and in Psalms chapter 14, we say it in verse 5, it's only found in Genesis and it's found again in Psalms, which Psalms is counting the 120-year generation. This is the end of the 120-year generation. So 120 years is the pinnacle or the beginning of judgment, okay?
Yes.
Now, is that a pattern with God? Does God always say, if I'm going to judge, okay, because God will say the end of this generation, 70 years will be the end of your captivity. They were freed, but that wasn't a judgment, okay? They were freed. And a lot of 70-year generations that God fulfilled in scripture, but they weren't judgments. But the 120-year generation, this one brought about judgment. So we want to look at the 120. And does the 120 always bring judgment? Because if that is the fact, then God has always patterned judgments according to the 120,
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I'm gonna read from this book here. And this book is called The Wisdom in the Hebrew Alphabet.
Can you hold it up a little bit?
Yes, you can check that out. Okay, now listen to this, because this is not a Christian book, okay? This is a book on the wisdom of the Hebrew alphabet, the lettering system, what the numerical value of each letter is. This is only a study by a Jewish rabbi on the letter system of the Hebrews, okay? Of each number having a numerical value, of what each letter meant. And this is what it says about one of the letters that God does not use until he gets to the creation of Eve. It says, the Samech in the Torah, with regard to living beings, appears in the narrative of the creation of Eve. Why would that letter begin with the creation of Eve? What does the word Samech mean? It means a helper, right?
Mm-hmm.
It means a support. So God says to Adam, I am going to make you a helpmate. And in that, he uses the Samech. Okay? So Eve becomes the actual birth for human life of this letter, Samech, okay? And the letter completely identifies her as being what? The support or the helpmate to Adam, okay? Now, in the Hebrew, we're going to look at it up here. In the Hebrew, the word Samech or the letter Samech actually equals 60. But in the Hebrew, you have a full form, which is each letter can be written out, like delete is a letter. But when you write delete out, it means door, and then it has another full numerical value, gematria value. Samech has a full gematria value, 60, 40, and 20, which equals 120, okay? So the value of Samech is 120. So it is with this that the helper is now created. It is Eve. And then now, what is the first judgment, worldwide judgment against mankind? Was after eating of the tree in the garden that God told them not to eat of. And who was it that ate of the fruit by listening to the serpent? The woman, the bride. Okay, so she ate of it, then she gave some to her husband, and he freely ate of it because he didn't want her to die on her own. And then now you have the first worldwide judgment coming as the result of the helper, the support.
Wow.
Okay, so judgment has a root. When you finally get to Genesis chapter 6, and God begins to talk to Noah and says, my spirit shall not always dwell with man because his years will be 120 years. God did not just pull that number out of nowhere. God says, we're going to go back to the root of judgment, which happened with Eve. And this is the second judgment that's going to come. And just as it happened with Samech in Genesis, now it's going to happen with 120 with Noah and the ark. And he says, I'm giving you 120 years. Okay. Now, God could have judged them right there, but he didn't. God waited 120 years and then the judgment came. Okay. Now, after that judgment of the flood, whole wide world is affected by this flood. Then the next time we see a judgment, it's Moses. And Moses sins, right? And how does Moses sin? By striking the rock twice, going out of God's typology. And God tells Moses he's not going to enter into the promised land, but that he would die on this side. And then it said, when Moses was 120 years old, he died. He wasn't sick or anything, but he died when he was 120. And then Joshua took over the ministry and took the people over to the other side for the Passover. Okay. Now, I want to explain, as I've done before, before those people could go to the other side, God stopped Joshua and said, these people must first be circumcised because in the wilderness they did not get circumcised. So before they can pass over, we need to cut off flesh so that they can go over. So they circumcised them and then they went over. Yeah. So it was just a picture of us that before we leave here, the flesh has to be cut off. So that's the second 120 year judgment was at Moses. Okay. Now, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
Because here you had destruction and salvation, and here you have this salvation and crossing over. And now you get to another time where God's going to clearly show you that 120 is a time of judgment. And how does he do that? Samson is blind and stricken. He's standing in the Colosseum, And he wants to, he asked God for one more power of strength so that he could bring judgment on the Philistines. So he's standing between two pillars, and he says, he pushes the pillars out, the whole stadium collapses, and judgment falls upon the Palestinians, right? Or the Philistines. And so that judgment happened. But why did God use the word pillar? Why did he push out the pillars? Here is the word pillar in Hebrew, amod, okay? Now watch this. Here is the word congregation in Hebrew, meod. Same letters,
ooh,
just one is changed in the beginning. You understand? Both words equal 120.
Wow.
So when he pushed out the pillars, God was saying, in retrospect, what he's pushing out is the congregation. So he's pushing out the congregation, and once he removes the congregation, judgment comes, and the enemies of God were destroyed. Okay.
Wow.
So now we've had Eve, and then now we have Moses. No, we have Eve. Then with the 120, we have the flood with the 120. We have Moses at 120 years old. We have Samson systematically with the pillars he pushed out and having the same numerical value as the congregation being moved out, then judgment coming. So we have that judgment right there. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 witnesses that 120 brings forth judgment, okay? Now, God brings me to the message that we had last night. And what happened with the message last night? We're talking about Solomon, okay? And what did we find out with Solomon in the beginning? That a man named Adonijah wants to usurp him as being king. And so, and just like the Antichrist wants to come and make himself king of the whole world, this guy Adonijah wanted to be king before Samson and declared himself king. But God did not say that Adonijah would be king. God said that Samson would be king. And so now God has to declare Samson as king and have him go and conquer this other king, right? So the thing about it is before Samson, before Adonijah decided he wanted to be king and assert himself before the true king, a beautiful woman had to go into the palace. A Gentile woman, okay, a Shunammite, goes into the palace to be a companion and friend of the king so that he could be warm because he was getting older, right? So now the word paralambano comes into play. Why? Because taken, one to be taken and the other one left, the word taken, paralambano, says, this word means to be taken as a friend or companion, okay? So now she's taken as a friend or companion in the palace, and right after that, Adonijah says, I'm going to be king, and makes himself. So the Antichrist doesn't come to win until the Gentile virgin is in the palace. This, I'm just letting you know, I didn't write the book, God did. Okay, so now, you go through the whole scenario of the tribulation and everything with Solomon. He finally becomes king and gets the false king out of there. And then you realize that this whole thing was Solomon, when Solomon finally dies, because he doesn't stay in relationship with God, when he finally dies, he has served as a king in Israel for 40 years. But Israel didn't always have a king. God was always their king.
Right.
Until they asked for Saul. How long did Saul serve?
40 years
over Israel. Then David came, and David served 40 years over the nation of Israel. Then Solomon comes, and because of his sin, brings judgment on the whole nation, and the tribes get divided and spread out throughout the world. That judgment came because what? 40 years for Saul, 40 years for David, 40 years for Solomon. Then judgment came. 40, 40, 40 is 120. One more proof that 120 always brings forth judgment. Okay? So now, if Jesus is saying that it will be as it was in the days of Noah, and the days of Noah brought about a judgment that took place in 120 years, did God specify and begin a marker of a 120-year count? And can you find that 120-year count in the scripture for this present day? And because of someone like J.R. Church, who wrote Prophecies in the Psalms, who did an excellent writing concerning the Psalms, of its division of five books, of its counting from Psalms 1 all the way to Psalms 120, and then Psalms 120, you finally get to the book that is called the Psalms of Ascent. These are the Psalms of the Mi'alah. These are the Psalms of the going up, okay? And it starts at Psalms 120. But not just the books being structured to the 120 in Psalms, but in the Psalms, God wants you to know that he's counting those Psalms, because now he's documenting every historical event from the 1900s all the way to Psalms 120, when now this event happens, because it's what? The Psalm of the going up, okay? So I hope I was able to explain that well enough to let you know that all of the evidence is in, okay? We can now begin to say, let's be ready, and let's make sure that we are in tune with God in relationship, and not just playing church or trying to survive on this. I'm under grace and I can sin, and you know, because I don't, my thing is, what does God say? Prepare my people to leave. If you know all of this, that's great. That doesn't prepare you to leave. Amen. Okay? Preparing you to leave is to telling you the truth about a righteous God that does righteous judgment. Okay? Because God wants you to not just be knowledgeable of the end times, and it always makes me laugh when I go on the YouTube and I see somebody cursing out the Illuminati people and telling them they're gonna go to hell. And I'm like, if you're cursing them out, where do you think you're gonna be? Because obviously you don't know Christ either, right? So having a knowledge of the Illuminati and the knowledge of the end time is not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is say, come in full relationship with God, because we're at that time. Yes. And when that taking away happens, you want to be a part of it, because God wants you to be a part of it. Yes. He wants you at his wedding banquet. He wants you at his party. You understand? He says, go out into all the nations and gather as many as you can, right? And that's what we want to do. Now, when we gather them, we want to make sure, from Matthew 22, that while that we've gathered them, that we explain to them what? The importance of keeping this garment with you.
Yes.
Because I'm giving you a garment that must be worn at the banquet, because this is a royal occasion.
Yes.
Okay? That garment is your Holy Spirit, your relationship that you are in with Jesus Christ. You must have this on when you go into the wedding banquet, or else, as it says in Matthew 22, they walked in and they found this guy and he didn't have his garment, and they kicked him out, and he says, into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't want that to happen to any Christian. If you've said, Jesus Christ, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior, I want to make sure that you understand that now you've come into relationship that must be maintained.
Yes.
Okay? Don't get into the fact that, oh, I can't put any effort into this, because the scriptures is constantly telling you to put effort into it, right? Yes. Okay? To walk worthy of this calling, okay? So God is expecting you to stay in relationship,
Amen.
To stay on fire, to keep oil in your lamp, to not become lukewarm in your relationship, because all of those things really will destroy your opportunity to leave, okay? All right, we're going to go back over to the scriptures here.
Good.
I did this in the Methuselah Lifeline, and we've taught on it a couple times so far. And in the video that the guy did on this Methuselah Lifeline, he made one mistake, and that one mistake was he said that Lamech, Noah's father, died 7 years before Methuselah. And the math just wasn't working out for me. I just kept thinking, am I just bad in math, or I just can't figure this out, because I don't see 7 years. So I ran it again, and I said, okay, he's born 182 years, then he lives 595 more, that's 777. That would make Methuselah to be 964 mm-hmm. when he died. So Lamech died when Methuselah was 964. Lamech died before his father, but he died 5 years before his father.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, someone said, well, 2016 to 2020 is not 5 years. I'm counting it as a marker, because I understand something that maybe you don't, but maybe you do. Years have not always been 365 days, 65.2422. Years used to be 360 days. The other thing I would like to emphasize why the Lord would put this count the way he did, as I'm about to show you, is that the flood happened early in the fifth year.
Yes.
Okay? So it happened in the second month, in the fifth year, right? On the 17th day, God told them, look, then the flood waters burst open, and the flood began yes. on the second month, on the 17th day. Yes. So it wasn't deep into the next year. And so the death of Lamech being 5 years before the flood is very much connected to our day and time, because you have this thing. Let me see, did I write it up here? Yes, I did, thank God. Okay. So, Lamech is 777 years old. The number for grace in Hebrew is 5. The number for the Holy Spirit, hey, the letter hey, which is the fifth letter, is the Spirit of God. So what's about to be taken away? What does Genesis say? My spirit shall not always dwell with man. Who's he talking to? Noah, whose name means what? Rest, but backwards means what? Grace.
Yes.
Okay? So God is saying grace is about to end and my spirit is about to be pulled out. But God has him die 5 years before Methuselah. So he dies at 777. 5 years later, in 969, the flood begins. Now listen, we got to 2016. In the middle of 2016, it changed, because their year changed in September to 5777. Okay? So now you got, everybody's thinking, this gotta mean something. And of course, I'm thinking it must mean it's going to be 2017. This is going to be the rapture. This is it. 577 came and left, and it was like, okay, there was no rapture. But what does the 577 mean? This is the year that Lamech died. God is saying, look, five was five more years till what? Because when the flood came, it was the 120th year. From 2016, that 777 to 2020 is 5 years, five markers of death. You understand? 16, the 17th, the 18th, the 19th, the 20th, and now we're in the year of the flood, and this thing is about to happen, okay? So, sometimes my neighbor, I gave her a copy of all of this material, and she pulled me over as I was taking the trash out this morning, and she says, that information you gave was incredible. You ought to write a book. I said, I don't think I have a time to write a book. Let somebody else write a book. I'm just trying to warn people to prepare themselves because Jesus is coming for what? For the bride. Okay? For the bride. So, look at that. Okay. And I have this on there so you can look at that. Now, he's coming for the bride. But what does the bride have to do first? The bride has to leave.
Yes.
Nothing happens till the bride leaves. If it happens any other way, then that makes the Bible not true.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
If Jesus comes back to earth and the bride never left, that means the Bible is not true.
Right.
Why? Let's go to John chapter 14. This is one of the reasons why. John 14 says what? Oh, and I'm going to show you something else in a moment here.
Okay. John 14.
John 14 verse 1. We're going to start reading at verse 1. Glasses. Ooh, whoever invented glasses, I just want to say God bless you. It says, Jesus is talking here. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and paralambano, the word, take you as a friend and a companion to be with me, that you also may be where I am, which is heaven.
Yeah.
You know the way to the place where I am going. Okay? So Jesus makes a promise to the apostles and the Christians that I'm leaving. But don't worry, I'm coming back to paralambano you, to take you to be with me. This is the same word he says, two will be in one place, one will be taken, paralambano, and the other left, okay? So the promise of God taking us out is solidified throughout scripture. And now when I showed you the other day concerning the Shulamite, okay, and the Shunammite, now, It changed names in Psalms different from when it was in the book of when it was in Kings. It only changed names because of what's his name? Eusebius called Shunammite or Shunim, he called it Sulam because of the translation, okay? So the Hebrew translation Shunim, where this virgin went into the palace to be with the king, to be with King David, was the Shunammite, okay? And then you get to Song of Solomon, and it's a rapture scenario of Jesus coming and putting her in a chariot and taking her away, and Israel saying, come back, and Jesus saying, she's not coming back. You're not going to do this, right? So, and that, and but she's called the Shulamite, only because of the change of the language in the translation. But it's talking about the same situation. One's being swept away in the rapture. The other one is being swept away in the rapture too, because they went out and found this beautiful woman and brought her into the palace before Adonijah declared himself as the false king. Okay? Whew. Only God could do this. I don't know where my brains would be going. So, God, thank you.
Someone wants to know, do you have any guess? Robert wants to know, do you have any guess at all of when we're going to be going out?
Heck yeah, I got some guests. You want to hear a couple?
Want to hear a couple guests?
Okay. 2020 does not start till Nisan 1st, okay? Mm-hmm. That would be in the spring of 2020. The Shulamite woman goes out into the field because she's looking for the early fruits of the season in the spring, and then she's taken up, okay? Now, the wheat harvest takes place at Pentecost, is right at the very beginning, the end of the spring and the beginning of summer, okay? So rather it's in the spring or the very early part of summer, both of those are very high rapture dates, okay? And you will then be in the 120th year. So therefore, Jesus is now saying it will be as it was in the days of Noah. It won't be before the 120. It will be in the 120. Because right now we're not in the 120th year. But we will be as of, I think, March 26 at Passover. Mm-hmm. We will be as of that time. And then we'll get into the 120th year. Because the flood didn't happen to the 120th year. He didn't tell them to get into the boat until the 120th year. You understand? So understand, if a rapture happens before and we're up there and somebody's yelling at me, Pastor Sandy, you were wrong. It happened before. And I'll go, I'm gladly, this is the best being wrong day of my life, okay? But I truly believe it will happen just as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah in the 120th year. And I do believe that Jesus marked the 120th year in Psalms. I think if we did a complete study on Psalms, we would say, how in the world is God talking about the United Nations coming into agreement to give Israel back to the Jews in 1947, and then the 19th book of the Bible in the 47th chapter of Psalms is talking about the United Nations giving back the land to the Jews. And then they go back into the land in 1948, and then in the 19th book of the Bible, Psalms, in the 48th chapter, talks about the going back into the land. And then from the Holocaust to their agreement with the Russians, then with the Russians in 1907 to the 1914 war, when it began World War I, and the guy comes forth and saying that the fool believes in his heart that there is no God, and God marking when he says it, and then says it again in 1953 in Psalm 53 for the year that the same guy said it when he died. And it's just like, how is God marking? Why is he marking these years, okay? Because if he's marking these years, that means he knows exactly what's going to happen each year. Now comes the crazy part. Because now when you get to Psalms 120 to 127, if you painted Psalms 20 to 127, it would be a complete picture of the tribulation.
Wow.
Psalms 24, the middle of that, would be the flood that Satan sends out against Israel. Psalms 121 or 122 gives you the rebuilding of the temple, okay? And then at the end of this, you get what? You get this Jesus making this incredible statement saying, I, the one who left you in sadness and tears with the seed, he says, will come again with the sheaves, meaning the wheat harvest, the barley harvest. He says he's coming back with the wheat harvest and the barley harvest. And then all of the scripture tell you that when Jesus comes, he's coming with his saints. And so he says he's going to, and Psalms, at the end of Psalms 26, God makes this proclamation, I'm coming back. The one who left is coming back with his sheaves. Okay? So now you have this whole picture of the tribulation, right? From Psalms 120 to 127, perfect picture of the rapture. 128 says he's now given birth to his own children, which are the nation of Israel, and he forgives them. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Sometimes, you know, God can give you so much stuff that it's very hard to it's very hard to even imagine, you know, how much information. You know that that Samech letter in the Hebrew is the 15th letter of the Bible. I mean, the 15th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And when you, that's crazy. 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 + 5 + 6 + 7 + 8 + 9 + 10, all the way to 15, you get 120. That's pretty crazy.
That's crazy.
Okay, because what I'm trying to say is that God's marking this 120th year. Okay, I want to read the book of Luke.
Pastor Sandy, Space Y Stacy says she's a newborn Christian and she's learning. So thank you.
Praise God. This is Stacy. This is what because Satan opens churches. And, you know, a lot of them were part of organizations that don't allow them to tell you the truth. Satan is smart.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, okay, if I can't get in the church, I'm going to build my own churches and I'm going to make them financially prosperous and very comfortable for families to go in. Mm-hmm. And but I'm going to control the ministry so they won't, they'll never know about what's really going on, right? And so, you know, people begin to talk to you about the rapture in the church. I if you go to a church, I'd say, and you say, you know, I never hear about the rapture in our church. Let me go ask my pastor, when's he going to talk about the rapture? And if he says, oh, we don't talk about that here, get out of that church. Because that church is being controlled. Because, like I said, Freemasons have over 4,000 Southern Baptist Convention churches. And then I don't know about the other churches that they've opened, but we have 22 Freemason churches right here in Long Beach. And so... and, you know, some of them have the Mason signs on it, some of them don't. Some of them, like, think that when my put the Mason sign up, people don't know what they're doing anyway, right? St. John's on 10th Street, they celebrate the Masons every year, you know what I mean? So we're trying to give you true information. I wish we could do this on a wide scale, worldwide, and warn people this time is coming. And I know God is going to be able to provide us with that worldwide warning to the world so that they can prepare for this day. Or maybe God won't. Maybe God has been warning and warning and warning, because that's what the scripture says. How much time I got? About 5 minutes, Pastor Ben? Okay. Check this out. Check this out in Luke chapter 21. Verse 32, it says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away till all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. When he's talking about this generation at this time, he's talking about the 120-year generation. 1948 was the 48th year of the 120-year count, okay? So now he says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness and anxieties of life. Okay? So understand that he's saying that dispensation and drunkenness can cause you death. But he says also, if you get so anxious and the anxieties of life take you over that you forget about Jesus, that can also destroy you.
Yeah.
Okay? So remember, rather you in a hill, on a hill, and you're praising God, or you're in a valley, God is still God. You understand?
Amen.
So praise him in both places, because he never leaves you. Rather you're on the top of the hill, or rather you're in the valley, Jesus is still with you, and he's still God. Okay?
Amen.
And it says here, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. What day? The rapture. He says, don't let this day close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the whole earth. You hear that? The rapture, when it happens, that means the whole world is now without the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Okay? Last thing I want to show you today. Okay? In Genesis chapter 6, you know what it says? My spirit will not contend with man always. It says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now that word strive or contend, he says, meaning to plead and to bargain with them and to try to get them to repent. He's saying my spirit in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, he says, the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh. But when he's saying my spirit will not always strive with man, the Hebrew word that he has there means he will not always contend with you for your affections. He will not always contend with you for you to repent, for you to do all of these things, because he said my spirit is going to be taken out. I'm not going to always contend for you to repent, right? Now, this same verse is only found one other time. And guess where it's found at? Nope.
Where?
Isaiah 57. So let's look at Isaiah 57. Then we can close out, Pastor Ben.
Wow.
And what is Isaiah 57? What is the basic subject of Isaiah 57? If you were reading Hebrew, it would sound like this. The righteous in verse 1, it says this. It says, okay, in English it says the righteous perish. In Hebrew it says the tzadik avad, the righteous disappear. And no one ponders in their heart. And it says devout men are asaf, or in English it says taken away. And no one understands that the righteous have been taken away to spare them from evil. Okay? So that's how Psalms 57 begins. What's it talking about? The righteous people leaving the earth, because the word is not perish, it's avad, which means disappear, and asaf, which means collected like fruit from a tree.
Yeah.
Okay? And so it says this happens, and no one understands that the righteous have been taken away to spare them from evil. Now, I want to find the scripture that it says, my spirit in this chapter, he says, because my spirit will not always contend with man. And I can't find it, the Holy Spirit. It's in that chapter, though.
It's in that chapter.
It says, because my spirit will not always contend with man. So in this chapter that's talking about the rapture, he makes the same statement that he made in Genesis chapter 6 that says, I'm not going to always contend for you to follow me, to love me, to put me first, to not be lukewarm about me. He's not going to contend with you in that way always. Because why? The Spirit of God is going to be removed. And so these are the things that we need to understand, is that, first of all, grace, there's no place in the Bible that says, my grace is forever.
It is not. Amen.
You can try and find it. And you know what? because of this whole movement from Satan against the church saying that you're saved by grace and you can sin, I really tried to find a scripture that said my grace will last forever. It says my mercy will last forever, but it does not say my grace. Grace is an amount of time to get things right, okay? You didn't do it right this time, I'm gracing you 2 more days to get it right. You didn't get it right this time, I'm gracing you 3 more days to get it right. Grace is like my free, it's freely given to you more time to do what God needs you to do. And that is to get closer to Him, to submit to Him, to become a worshiper, okay? Yeah. Yeah. Worshiper means, worshiper and praise is two different things. Hallel, hallelujah, thank God. Even the most filthiest rappers can say thank you to God, right? That's Hallel. He doesn't receive all of it. But worship is submitting yourself to God. And Jesus says, my Father is looking for these type of people. He never said, my Father is looking for praisers. He right. said, my Father is looking for worshipers that will worship Him in what? In spirit and in truth. So He wants us to walk in this thing in righteousness, okay?
Amen.
Be prepared. It's going to be an incredible 2020. Okay, incredible. I'll see you in the sky when the party starts. You'll know me. I don't know if I'll be bald, but I'll be the guy dancing. Hallelujah. So let's pray and get us out of here. Do we have any questions, Pastor Ben?
No more.
We're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Hallelujah. And we're going to say, I love this, that God wanted Moses to really let His people know, I am with you. I'm going to read it in English. He said, Moses, when you see my people, bless them by saying this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, right? The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekeka Adonai v'yishmareka, Yair Adonai panavileka v'chuneka, Yaseh Adonai panavileka v'yasem l'ka shalom. That's it for today, you guys. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach anachnu tefilim and lehitriot b'shavu haba ani achava atim. I love you all.